other has not yet come. When he comes, he must continue a short time. Welcome back to Hackberry House, a podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted Church of North Korea. My name is Bob, and this is podcast number 414. It is March the 8th, 2016. Welcome back to Hackberry House, and I must immediately give this program note. Yesterday, due to some of the strange policies and practices of the YouTube people, I've decided to cancel my account at YouTube. So if you've been trying to get there, just out of curiosity to see what this old guy looks like, don't go there anymore. If you do go there today, by the way, and you find something of mine, please let me know right away, for it was my intention to cancel everything. Now, I've just shut it down. I haven't taken it all off of there. There are hundreds of things over there at YouTube. Part of me doesn't want to let it go, but the other part says, no, this it's not worth it for what you get out of YouTube. So it's just you and me for now, you and me, sermon audio, and it's good to be back just with that. Well, one is still coming. The cold is really gone, but it's the leftovers are still here, so try to bear with me. I'm not sick at all. Feeling great. But it's not going to sound that way every once in a while. I'm just clearing my throat, basically. Candidate number 7 is up today. One is still coming. Here is the great unknown one. The next Superman of the world. A man who will ultimately hate Jews and hate Christians, but won't be able to do a whole lot about it, perhaps. A man of immense power. He will even think of himself as divine and all the rest. Everything that we've said about all the other men that we've been talking about, it's going to be said about this guy. He will be that last punch right before the Antichrist actually comes to earth, the Antichrist. He'll be one that will be like him very, very much. How I wish I could convince my listeners and readers, and I hope you will get a hold of this booklet, There Are 7 Kings. That next man, I wish I could just let you know, is not the Antichrist. I know everybody's going to be saying that. When you see this man rise to world power, it was kind of funny, yes, not funny, kind of strange on the Drudge Report yesterday, and I happen to be one of those. I listen to the Drudge Report, I watch it. But it had a big picture of Donald Trump and how that the whole world is in turmoil because of him. I don't believe he's the Antichrist, all right? I don't believe he's the next superpower. But I do believe it'll be somebody like that will just rise up out of nowhere and suddenly be someone. But I'm confident we'll not be able to stop the speculation about a Russian that might rise, or an American, or a Pope, and other great men that can arise and take over world power. I know everybody's going to say, Christians will say, it's the Antichrist. Oh! But whoever he is, whoever he is, folks, you heard it here first. He's number 7. He's not number 8. Number 7 hasn't come yet. We'll know it when there's a world emperor. Now, I've heard the assassination theory, and I talked about it earlier. I must agree, it could be true. Could be true. That is, the big man comes that I'm telling you will come, number 7. And then he is shot, perhaps. He's assassinated. And then, shortly after that, he rises from the dead. Now, that last part, the rising from the dead, I am totally in agreement with. Someone, one of these 7, is going to rise from the dead. And the most logical and the quickest way to take care of this would be to say, it's number 7. He gets shot, rises from the dead, and then everybody hails him. I get that. But I'm still hung up by what the angel said to John, the one who was and is not and shall come. In other words, in John's day, this man had already lived, but he will come out of the bottomless pit. I don't think it's number 7. Something else strange. You know, there's mysteries that I haven't seen yet. I'm just telling you what I've seen so far in the Scripture. I don't get visions. John took care of that for me. I don't need to get any visions. Paul got visions. He couldn't even share his. I'm not getting visions and dreams and spooky stuff in the middle of the night. I'm reading my Bible. Read your Bible. That's why God gave the visions to begin with to those people, so that we could read their visions and have truth. Visions are not for vision's sake. Visions are for truth's sake, and it's been done. I won't say nobody ever gets a vision anymore. I don't want to ever go down that road again. However, much of what is being called vision is just a guy sitting there in a trance, in a typical trance. And you can get in one. Anybody can get in a trance and start imagining things. Yeah, that's not a vision. Well, I must agree that this assassination theory could be true. And if I've misinterpreted even a small bit of the text, but let's look at the text again. Revelation 17:8. It seems so simple. The beast that you saw was John, is not John, and will ascend John. I put John in there because you always have to understand context of a passage of Scripture. The angel is talking to John, first century John, not talking to you or me. A lot of clues there. In my opinion, they cancel out the possibility of number 7 being assassinated and then immediately rising from the dead as number 8. The angel tells John, and I'll say it again here, who lived in the first century, that the beast that John saw was. Now, in my dictionary, was means existed in the past. It's a three-letter word, W-A-S, you got it? The beast that you saw, John, was. How clear can I make it now? Somebody who used to live. And the beast that John saw is not. John doesn't exist, not alive today. The one is, namely Domitian, but the beast, no. The final Antichrist, no. He's not alive, John. He's coming. Clear? You see why I'm voting for one of the Old Testament candidates. But number 7 will be here one day. Powerful man, attracting the attention of Christians everywhere, denounced, condemned, perhaps rightly so, by the Christians. But another, worse than he is, will be in place within a few years after number 7's reign begins. Remember what it says? He will continue just a short time. Maybe 3.5 years, maybe half of that 7-year period we've been talking about, maybe not. But just a short time. And then, the man of the end. I can't tell you any more about Candidate 7. There's just nothing more to tell. Everything else is speculation. And I know people get into their newspapers and look out the window and try to figure it out. But look for the signs, okay? The signs I've given you from the Scripture. He must hate Israel. He must hate the Christian church. He must hate anything of God and want to replace God. He'll even try some of that, but won't have the power. He'll have human, lots of human power, charismatic type of person, small c, not necessarily the kind of satanic stuff that actually does things in a mighty way. Not as mighty as our Lord, but more powerful than just a man's stuff. Well, King number 8 is the last chapter. We have a little bit of time today. I won't stop right now. King number 8 is the one that we're looking for. And he's actually one of the 7 men that I have outlined for you. Now, I gave you one extra one in there, Nebuchadnezzar. You can do with him whatever you will. But there are a bunch of men in the Old Testament. There was one in the days of John, Domitian, and one yet to come. Put it all together, there are 7 kings. I know that can mean it has to do with kingdoms. You can't have a king without a kingdom, but let's don't take the king away. It is a king we're talking about. It's a man. A man who rises up, tries to take over the world, hates everything of God, but is defeated 6-7 times. One time, well, he's defeated 8 times when you come to think of it. A lot of differences there can be on which of those candidates is truly the Antichrist eventually. But one thing is, in my opinion, non-negotiable truth. Namely, that the final world ruler before Jesus will be a resurrected king. I close the door right there. I will not allow any other thinking to come into my head about that. Which one? I don't know. Maybe that number 7 assassin. Okay, I can let go with that. But I won't let go of this other. There's no question by the wording of the text. The solving of the mystery is so simple and yet profound for us to think about that one day this world will be ruled right before Jesus comes by a resurrected king. Do you see the beauty of it from Satan's point of view? Satan is going to try to mimic what Jesus did. Jesus is the resurrected king that shall rule over all the earth. Hallelujah. I love to talk about it. But Satan's going to mimic that. Right before Jesus, he will try to deceive the world. Look, I'm the resurrected king. I'm the one who died and has risen again. That's what he will try to tell us. Now, I line up my proofs for you. Revelation 13, verses 1 through 4. After a description of the beast's outward features, including his 7 heads, John sees that one of the heads was as if it had been wounded mortally, killed, dead. As if, or as it appeared to men, but the deadly wound was healed. Yes, he was dead clinically, physically, the way we look at death, but he wasn't really dead. After all, he went to a holding place so that he could come back Satan-filled. So the world, seeing this, worshipped the beast and realized there's no way to make war against somebody who can really rise from the dead. How are we going to fight him ever? He'll just keep coming back to life. That's what that's about there in Revelation when you're reading where it says, who can make war with the beast? It's not that he's so strong. It's that he keeps living. You can't kill him. Like the cartoon people. You know, they die in one frame and then they come right back to life in the next. Revelation 17, 7 through 11, referring to the mortal wound of chapter 13. The angel describes this same beast a bit more by saying of him that he was historically, but is not now, and that he will ascend out of the pit where he has been placed, awaiting his grand reentrance into the world. That's where 2 Thessalonians comes in. 2 Thessalonians talking about he that hinders will now hinder. He's going to stop him for right now. There's an angel at the pit stopping this man from coming right now. But when the Lord says to that angel, step aside, or maybe the devil himself is involved in that transaction, but there's an angel somehow that tells the angel of the pit, step aside, stop the hindering, let him out. That's when the Antichrist comes on. He that hinders will hinder until he is taken out of the way. We've really messed with that one, haven't we? We've said that the one who is hindering is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit cannot be taken out of the world while there are any believers here. I know you want to call them tribulation saints, whatever that means, but saints means holy ones. Holy ones are only holy because the Holy Spirit is in them. The Holy Spirit's not leaving this earth. No, not as long as God's people in any form are here. And I don't believe those tribulation saints are a different class of people at all. I believe they are simply the end time church, the same church as you and I belong to, living in an end time situation. They'll be prepared for that time. God's preparing them even now to be ready for the evil that shall come on this earth. I think that's enough for today. That means one more time at this, just one more time. And we, Lord willing, tomorrow we will finish this study. I'm sorry if it dragged on a little too long for your tastes. I do what I do. We are going to go to Spurgeon right after that, and then we're going to go to questions and answers. If you'll hold on just a second. See, I can do this on audio. On video, this wouldn't look too good. I'm going into my computer right now, and I'm looking at this little file called Genesis Answers. So I can remind myself the things I've been asking and answering while you've been away. That is, while I've been away talking about other things. Let's see. All right, the last thing we're going to talk about on this list, although the list keeps getting bigger, is how and why did people live so long in ancient days? I hope you're curious enough to want to know about that. You can do all these studies yourself, and I hope that you will, but I have some answers too. Where did Cain find a wife? That's the oldie. But still, people are asking, as you read through the text, it doesn't make sense. Hey, where's the Garden of Eden? And therefore, the Tree of Life today. It didn't go out of existence. It was on the earth. Where is it? Is that the same as paradise? And we'll check that out in the scripture. It's not my guesswork on it. What does the Bible say? And I think we already did, didn't we? Why is Genesis 3:15 called the Protoevangelium? All right. But we got many questions and answers, and we're only in the very first parts of Genesis still. Wonderful, wonderful book. Wonderful mysteries there. And God says even if you understood all those mysteries and had all knowledge but didn't have love, you don't have much of anything. So I'm not trying to replace the good things, the better things in your life. I am trying to replace the worst things in your life. If you could just drag away from television long enough, you see there's another world out there. Some of you are hooked on YouTube videos. I want to get you away from that for sure. There's another world out there. Get into your Bible and God will start opening up things to you you can't imagine. All right, I've gone over again. And let's see. Yeah, I've done all the other stuff that I need to do. I want to repeat that scripture again. Revelation 17:10b. The other has not yet come. But when he comes, he must continue a short time. All right, we'll talk again tomorrow. Bye-bye.